podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
What's the story this week? Am I fucking your woman? I'm fucked up on oxy pills. make those begging eyes close. Listen for the footsteps that tell me I've got to go. Don't worry, don't worry, your mother will never know, and that she won't have to hate me when you leave me all alone. And on those nights when your love don't seem right, I close my eyes for a while. Think of that place in the basement where I laid with you, and who you used to be. Your new love's a mockery to me. Take me to the basement. Let's stay out of your mother's hair. She always knew I was a drinker, but if I was sober, she'd hate me. So I take rope to the basement, and I make those begging eyes close. I listen for the footsteps that tell me I've got to go. I don't worry, I don't worry.
It's Bill, and you're tuned in to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 560. With us tonight is are the members of the Slam Band and Sam. Before we get to them, though, I do want to mention these stations that you could be listening on. Those are buildthescene.com, megarockradio.net, 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri, altrockradio.ca in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Rudaroo Radio on the beaches of San Diego, California. This is going to be a good show, I can tell already. XRPradio.co.uk. That would be the home of Ozzy Osbourne, Birmingham, United Kingdom. I think I forgot somebody. I'll figure it out later. Once again, this is episode number 560. My name is Bill. Slam Band and Sam is with me. Why don't you guys take a moment and introduce yourselves for me?
Go ahead, Adam. You're first, man.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill. It's Adam. I'm the singer in the band.
write the songs, lyrics. These guys do all the hard parts.
I wouldn't say that much. I'm Tony Bello, guitarist. I kind of pulled all these people behind me together, including my brother, Nick.
Nick Bello. I play the drums.
Hi, Nick. My name is Mark Dukovic. I'm the saxophone player.
My name is David. I play the keys. All of them.
And I am Mark Andre. I play the bass guitar.
What's the inside joke on the all of the keys thing there?
That was the first time I heard it, actually.
Yeah, that's a new one. I'm pretty sure you're pulling that out of the fountain of original material right here.
So I have to ask, I mean, right off the bat, and it's usually the cliche question, but I get to tweak it a little bit today. Where did your band name come from? And at this point, who is Sam?
Oh yeah. We've been waiting for this question. So,
well, see, what I was going to ask was, why is Sam excluded from the band? But there is no Sam.
There is no Sam.
There never was.
There was never a Sam. So we came up with so many names when we were first getting together and jamming and just flowing with it. But we were like, we got to come up with a band name. So I was like, let me ask my grandma. Yes, my grandmother. So she came up with two names. The first one, can't quite say. The second one.
She's that kind of grandma.
Tell you a little bit, you know. The second one, Slam, Band, and Sam. And for whatever reason, out of a lot. Like, how many names did we come up with?
Dozens.
We had a million. Not a million. We probably had over 100.
Frogs and a lily pad.
It's difficult to get six people to agree on one thing, we've noticed.
The flaming couches.
The couches. I mean, we had no idea what we were doing. And then, so we just outsourced it.
And then we were like, all right, yeah, no one's named Sam, so who's Sam? And we're still trying to figure it out, but I think safely I can say Sam is simply about music. And that's what we are. We're simply about the music and just want to share our passion with everyone.
Let's get rid of the cliche questions and let's ask you some of my normal off-the-wall Pennsylvania rock show type questions. If Adam was going to run for president and the rest of you are going to end up in his cabinet, what is going to be your running, like what's your slogan going to be?
what do we want to accomplish in this?
I don't know. We look to you for leadership.
You look for me for leadership.
Maybe communication is key, because Adam's a really good communicator. Yeah. He keeps us all in line
100%
daily. He's like this, that, this is coming, that's coming. And we're all working together to get the thing done. But he's the one that's really leading that communication and getting that going. So I'm saying something to do with communication. That's our slogan.
I was
going to
say Adam Vasco 2024, one soul at a time.
Oh, yeah, I like that one.
His voice will capture it, man.
I'll take that. It's quite honoring to think you would lead me as the president.
We want funk.
We want funk.
That's it. Hold the picket sign. We want funk. Yeah.
I like this. What do you have to do? Just let them take care of everything.
A true leader. Oh, you're doing a good job, Adam.
True.
That's an interesting question.
That was a first time question. It just popped into my head.
Typically, we try to keep politics out of the band.
Well, and that's probably a good plan of attack. let's follow up with one of my questions that pops in every once in a while. Since I brought up politics, I used to teach social studies, and I was flipping through the book a couple years ago, and I found a picture that looked exactly like my college roommate. yeah. Now, the picture was a guy who died in 1958, and my college roommate wasn't even born at that point, clearly. But my question is, if I was flipping through my book and I found a picture of Slam Band and Sam in the social studies book, why would you be there?
We explored the Midwest.
Oh, man.
Across the Mississippi.
Kind of like Oregon Trail style.
Yeah, sort of like that. Yeah.
You died from
we
dysentery.
Died at the first city.
Dysentery.
There's a guy in Texas like you dissed me, so I sunk your whole ship and now like this is happening.
I'd be like the first them to like play a gig underwater
there you
on
go.
Mount Everest, you know?
Yeah,
that'd be sweet.
Good answer, yeah. Nick.
Something off the wall crazy about playing music somewhere nobody has yet. Let's shoot Elon Musk an email and, you know, play a gig on Mars.
There you go.
So you guys are gonna top Metallica's playing in Antarctica, which
yeah, I mean
you're gonna skip that seven continent thing and you're gonna head to Mars.
Cold. It's only 250,000 ticket to get into space, so we're set.
I mean, yeah, we got that. That's money.
Like price has dropped a lot.
And SpaceX got us. We're gonna actually, you know what? It would not be out of the realm now at this point in time, and in the time we're in to like. Be shot up on a rocket, have enough time to unstrap, play 30 seconds of a song, strap back in and land. Like, you could probably do that.
If you know the right people.
You'd be the first band to play in space. That's the crazy. Oh, my God. That's such
Wait, a, someone played a guitar in space.
Okay, Dave. Thanks for, you know, killing that game.
That's a solo.
One man. Did he sing, too? Or she sing?
I think it was a monkey.
What?
A female monkey. Yeah.
You know what? Cool. I guess I don't have dreams, and that's why I'm left-handed. You know, these things happen.
I'm left-handed too. I got dreams.
I have aspirations. That's definitely something.
I mean, feasible. It's not the first time space has inspired us. You know,
that's true.
That's true. What a segue.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
My latest release is entitled "Black Hole."
It sure is. There it is.
Good job, Nick.
Yeah, they captured the first picture NASA in 2017 or 2018.
Yeah.
And at the time being, we were inspired by that. And 2 years later, became our second single.
Yeah.
Which I listened to tonight, right before I listened to Jimmy Wuss. I actually watched the video from the vault.
Oh, yeah. Everybody was involved in making that happen. Bob, what a great guy, McCutcheon, you know, having everybody down there and all the support that he does to the whole community. You know, it's just a great, great environment down there. We've been really lucky to be part of that.
It's super cool because Bob's whole vision with the vault and what he's doing for the local community, you know, like with Pittsburgh music, he's basically described it as like, you know, I'm just trying to be like, you know, a mid label, a jump label. I want to put Pittsburgh on the map and I want the talent to be developed in Pittsburgh. I want to sponsor concerts. I want to sponsor artists. I want to sign artists that are talented, you know, that he sees something like good in them. And then, you know, he wants to push them on to the next level. And I mean, just like what a guy, because he just cares so much about everything that the music community is in Pittsburgh and wants to rebuild it, especially after the year we had in 2020. You know, he's been super forthcoming, honest, and really like you could just tell like the guy's got a huge heart and really cares about bringing people up. And it's been such a, like, at least for me, it's been like one of the best experiences of my life.
Yeah.
You know, like going in there the first time, we're on the 80, you know, 8058. Adam,
yeah,
8058 Neve, Rupert Neve console,
crazy,
and which is insane in itself because
I had no idea what it was.
Why?
listen, Dave Grohl owns one of those. which is a segue for later, but go ahead.
Oh yeah, so like I'm having like a psychopathic moment. Like that's an 8058. That's an 850. And we're listening to our demos to this board, and you know, at some point during that night when we first got down there. He's like, oh, yeah, we got some history on the board, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, this was like George Harrison's board from Nashville. And like Ringo was on this. And I the name escapes me, but there was a slide guitarist. Like half the Beatles solo projects and also the Beatles record on this board. And it's sitting in Pittsburgh. And I'm like, I just heard my demo through through the Beatles board. And he's like, yeah, it's all good. And like, he's just like, it's a normal thing. I was ready to like tomahawk my guitar out the window and just leave because I'm like, well, I'm accomplished. I'm done. Like it was the coolest thing ever, you know. Absolutely. But he really brings a and just like the vault family, right? I mean, everyone there is just they're so supportive. they push your music out. You push their music out. All the signed artists. It's really a true. It's a really true, like a true match, like a true collaborative of people that really like just really care. And so for us, man, that's like the coolest thing is we wouldn't want to make music. We wouldn't want to be in this band, spend all this time unless it was worth our time. You know what I mean?
I actually do the website for one of your label mates, Royal Honey.
Oh, no
and, way. And, I was just on the phone with Rocky from the Vault.
Rocky.
And he and I were talking about the possibility of me taking over the Borstal Boys website. And then I also do the SOS2020PGH.org website, which is the song that was recorded at the Vault that Eric Roger wrote.
Yeah.
So I recently met Bob, but only through Zoom. That'll change eventually, but
yep.
And you got to get in that space. You know, it just feels right down there. You'll enjoy it.
So now that we mentioned some of your label mates and throughout the SOS 2020 PGH plug for the night, I mentioned earlier that I had a segue for Dave Grohl. The Foo Fighters and Dave are known for finding that person out in the crowd holding the sign that says, "I want to come up and play whatever song with you." And he brings them up. And usually he heckles them for a while and then they nail whatever it was they wanted to play. So my question for you guys is, who is your Dave Grohl? Who would you want to join on stage?
All right, I'm going first. I'm jumping in here. All right. So John Coltrane's trio, that would be it.
anything.
Yeah. Elvin Jones, McCoy Tyner, those. Yeah, that would be amazing to be able to do it, sit there, play with them. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
For me, it'd probably be Yusef Days. He's a really, really good drummer in the UK. He's playing a lot of really nasty new things that I haven't really heard anywhere else before. And he always has, he's working with a bunch of like high profile artists over there. I think he's getting pretty popular now, but I think like two more years that more people are going to know about him. He's Yusef Days.
I'm going to go with Curveball, go with Adrian Belew, who used to play in King Crimson and has also done Talking Heads and Frank Zappa stuff.
Okay.
Just one of the most talented musicians I've ever seen. I've seen him at the Rex. I've seen him at Palace Theater. Every time I see him, I leave thinking, this is one of the greatest guitarists I've ever seen in my life.
I'm going to go with Charles Bradley. I saw him at the Rex Theater. And, you know, I'm lucky. He didn't make it many years after that. And that night, you know, the guy just poured out every bit of his soul. And he was so warm and welcoming. And he let everybody come up and shake his hand after. And just to sing a couple notes with him, you know, wow, you know, like a modern day James Brown, you know, that's how I feel.
My Dave Grohl moment would be, I've never seen him play live, but Vinny Colaiuta. I mean,
yeah,
he's from Pennsylvania. First off, second off, the dude's snare tone and cross sticks. I mean, it's ungodly. Whenever you hear Vinny play, you know it's Vinny. Doesn't matter if he's on a Def Leppard record or playing with Sting, with Zappa. I mean, when you hear Vinny, you know it's him. So that'd be my 100% my Dave Grohl pick.
He nailed it with Jeff Beck too at Ronnie Scott's.
Oh yes.
Oh god, yeah.
Mine's and a girl on a bass.
Talia, what was her name?
Oh, poof.
Oh yeah, she is good.
Mine's twofold here, unfortunately, but I'll keep it short. mine would be my dad, and only because the whole reason I think I play music and I wanted to get into this and that I've continued this is because, like, you know, he'd be like, dude, I'd come home off the bus when I was six and he'd try like catch me trying to pull his guitar out of the case, you know, and like trying to play it. He had an Arctic White Fender Stratocaster. It was beautiful. Pearl pickguard. It was Japanese made.
He sold it.
Phenomenal. Sold it. Thanks. But I mean, like that's really was my influence into music. So You know, like even when I come home from college and he'd be playing with the Wise Guys, they'd be down at, you know, Leesland Hermitage, you know, I just kind of like pop up and show up, you know, on a weekend, and he'd call me up on stage, and it's like the best feeling in the world, you know, and I think that's why that's honestly, that's my main influence. Aside from that, if you were going to ask me that question as a secondary to my dad, I'd probably give you Stevie Ray Vaughan, just because SRV was. We know what he did.
Yeah, that's on the level of Charles Bradley too. You know, it's just the soul just pouring out of these people.
Just pure music. You know, and just that feel like that's where it's at.
And we lived that dream with Dad. Two dads on the stage.
Yeah.
At this guy's wedding.
Yeah.
At this guy's wedding.
Yeah, we threw it. My cousin Chip's band came down for my wedding last December, and then my father-in-law Jerry Lodovico is playing with Chick and a couple other guys, and he's a phenomenal sax player. My dad Jerry is playing guitar. So
what are the odds?
Yeah, what are the odds? So we had like a 14-piece funk band on stage. It was nuts.
Did you just say that your dad and your father-in-law are both named Jerry?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We'll do the math here real quick, but it's been a lot of fun.
I will say, Bill, that one another nice addition to working at the Vault is that Dave Hillis is represented there, and he has some connections back in the day with Pearl Jam and things of that grunge scene. So maybe he has a connection to David Grohl for you. Who knows?
Oh.
Where you at, Dave?
It's a good idea.
He's calling him out, too.
Nice. Maybe I'll call Rocky again tonight and get him on that.
He's a cool guy. He was with us all day on one of our tracking, and he helped him with the guitar tone.
Yeah, man. We
had a flex on some stuff. It was a great day with Dave there.
He did. He put the flex on, walks in, and goes, "Hey, man, like, I want to do your guitar tone." And I was like, "You can do like whatever you want, man." Wound up, I have a vintage a music band, a T12. And he wound up splitting, he unplugged the speakers, wound up splitting the channel. Like, he split that amp three different ways. I don't even know how he did it. But he's like, "Oh yeah, man, it's like in three different cabs," and then you blend them all together, and then start blending my tone together. I'm like, oh my God, like, this is the best thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, for a guitar player, like, you know, like, we're all about the tone. We're tone chasers. That's all we want. And that it just sounded phenomenal. Like, the best. I'll never get it back again in my life. So I was just trying to take it all in that day. It was great. It was really a great time. And one of the best dudes like I've met down there at the Vault.
Let's say each of you get an hour on that bench that everyone talks about, where you can sit on the bench and you can talk to one person in the history of the world. I'm going to put the caveat that it has to be a musician. But here's the kicker to it. And it's that you're only allowed to ask one question. So who would you want to speak with, and what one question would you ask?
I got the person, but I don't know what the question is. The
question's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah, mine is Quincy Jones. I mean, he's, oh man, his list of people that he's hung out with, learned from, taught, arranged, wrote for, all those things. It's like the one question, man. All right, well, I would ask him, what's the most important piece of advice you were ever given?
Oh,
Gene Krupa.
Oh, yeah.
And I would ask him, what advice would you give yourself? Well, what advice would you give yourself, depending on his age at the time when I'm talking to him? Okay, so what advice would you give yourself when you were first starting out as a drummer, doing it, being like the first? You know, like one of the first to be recorded, one of the first to be famous for being a drummer, not just in a band, you know? Yeah. What advice would he give himself to be that person, you know? Because he wasn't, because before then, there really wasn't any famous drummers, you know? He was the guy, and he inspired so many people. Like Ringo inspired an entire generation of drummers. He inspired that first generation.
This is pretty easy for me. I would ask Frank Zappa, are you sure that you've never done drugs? Because
that dude is the most off-the-wall dude that I've ever heard. That's the one question you would ask.
Absolutely.
Seriously?
Yes.
He's definitely.
I mean, somebody has to ask it, Park.
That's my question.
We need to know. We need to know for science.
I think honestly, I'd want to sit. I think honestly, I would. I'd pick Clap. And my question would be, what kept you going?
Great. That's a great question for a guy like Clap.
What kept you going? Like all the hardship, the struggles, the, you know, the drug abuse, like so many guys were great.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, like what kept you going? I mean, what made you want to keep doing music? Because a lot of people quit, and that guy didn't quit, you know, and he actually saved Stevie Ray Vaughan's life, you know, 2 years before Stevie Ray Vaughan passed away, the helicopter crash. I mean, that's a guy that's super motivated, inspired, and I'd want to know what was the little voice in your head, or what were you trying to work towards? You know, I think that'd be invaluable. You can't put a price on that kind of information.
My question for you now is, if you ended up in the crossroad with the devil, and he offered you whatever you wanted, what would you sell your soul for?
Completely honestly, it'd be more time with people that I wish were still here. It's emotional, like blah blah blah. But like honestly, like if I was offered that, and the devil's like, I'm gonna take everything from you. I'm like, all right, cool. Let me see like my grandpa for like 5 more years.
But we're guitar?
Good. Or you know. Like I think time is the one thing you can't monetize it. People try to, but like when someone's gone, they're gone.
Right.
And you don't realize that you needed extra time, and it's always that you need more time. You always need more time with people. And if they're gone, like, man, it's like, what do I do? So I think honestly, that's probably what I would ask for.
Profound.
I'm trying.
Well, my answer was like, I don't think I'd sell my soul. I want it. I'm gonna keep it. I'm going that way,
like a good boy.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh yeah, that's a really crazy question. Oh my god.
Musicians and questions.
Yeah. This is another first time question. This first, you're the first band I asked that to.
Keep firing off.
It's a great one. You guys have one?
I really don't.
It's hard.
That's a hard question.
It's hard.
I mean,
you guys can pass if you want. I have some more hard ones.
Yeah, keep on going with the hard ones.
All right. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm going to give you your MTV Storytellers moment. Tell me a little bit about the song Jimmy Was, and then we'll take a few minutes and listen to it.
You're up. Well, hey, Jimmy was I always call it a spontaneous combustion. I've used that a couple of times. And, you know, we rehearse over on the South Side, and Tony and Nick, you know, often get there early, start warming up. And I walk into the room and, now they're jamming on something, and I was really digging it, and more people start getting in the room, and you know, I was feeling it, and first thing came to my mind was, wow, that's like some Jimi Hendrix playing song, you know, like the way he's playing that guitar, you know, and I just started thinking about Jimi Hendrix, and I started just thinking about how much I really do like him, and how much I really, all these songs, you know, hit so many songs in such a short period of time, and they were all so significant. And it just sort of fell together. And what ended up happening is you sort of wrote the song around titles of his songs. So if you look at the song, there's actually 9 Jimi Hendrix songs referenced in the song, including in the chorus, Voodoo Child, you know. But
I caught that one.
Yeah, that's an easy one. And the first line is Break a Day, Third Stone from the Sun. That's a Jimi Hendrix song. Matter of fact, that's a Stevie Ray did cover that a lot.
Yes, it is.
That's an amazing song.
Foxy Lady.
Yeah, Foxy Lady's in there. Bold as Love is in there. Machine Gun is in there. Highway Castles. Child's in there.
Castles.
Yeah, Castles Made of Sand is in there. I mean, you know, and that's just sort of how it developed. You know, it just and every time we play it, it's fun, and it sounds. Sounds to me like something that Jimmy be proud we did, you know?
Should be noted, it started with a drum beat first. How often does that happen? Probably not often.
Never.
Like, sure never. Did.
I was, well, dude, like, I had the wah pedal. I'm like, I want to play my wah pedal. And so like, Nick's in there just like ripping on, you know, doing his thing. I don't even know what he was doing. I'm not a drummer. But I was like, cool, here's some wah stuff. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. I was like, oh, that sounds really good. And we just kept building on it, and then Fark popped up like out of nowhere, like out of the woodwork, and popped up with his bass, just and started like throwing down, you know, this crazy bass line. I'm like, cool, I guess we have a song. you know, and that's honestly like most of our songwriting kind of works out like that.
Yeah, we're all working together at the same time.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
We're working on chords.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one person's in one corner doing the next thing in a room about this size. And
and that goes storylines too. We share in the development of the lyrics and songs. You know, it's just whoever has the best idea, you know, it's going to surface to the top, you know, and that's the way we've always operated, and it works really well for us.
Mm-hmm. Before we play Jimmy Was, I'm also going to play Dan Stonebrook and Highway 11. I do want to mention the songs that were played before we came on. You heard from Royal Honey with their new track Cut and Run. Yeah. And we also heard from Steve Hawk and his song Heart Sick in the Basement. All right. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a moment. We're going to listen to Jimmy Was by the Slam Band and Sam, who doesn't exist. And Dan Stonebrook and his track Highway 11. We'll be right back on the Pennsylvania Rock Show.
Jimmy was a voodoo child. Jimmy was.
Okay, you just heard Highway 11 by Dan Stonerook. And right before that, Jimmy Was by the Slam Band and Sam, who happened to be hanging out with me tonight. So far, I've asked them two questions that I've never asked before. So those of you that have listened to the show, if you missed them, go listen or wait until next week when I ask them again. That's the nice thing about having different people on. I can reuse and reuse because the answers are always different.
That is awesome.
So let's say this is going to be a two-part question. And I'm not going to ask the second part until you answer the first part. But let's say that you guys get to go out on a tour. You're headlining. What other bands do you want on that show with you?
I'm not going first on this one, guys.
Lettuce.
Could it?
Yeah, Lettuce
would Lettuce would be sick. Dev Wad would be sick. Circles Around the Sun.
I would love to open for Tedeschi Trucks Band. Please, Susan.
Oh, God.
Wow, that would be beautiful. Well, they would be opening for us.
Yes. You're headlining.
Oh, we're headlining? Honestly? Here, I'll go first. If we're headlining, I always have noticed this, and I've always been a firm believer in, number one, being humble. And so we've always been humble, and good things have come to us because we work hard. And we don't naysay or put other bands down. We don't knock down any artists. We truly believe in what we're doing to create. And so if we're not bringing up other people with us, what are you really doing for the scene where you're built from? And so, a lot of times you hear bad stuff about bands that, oh, well, like these guys are, you know, they're jagoffs, you know, they're bad people, or it's because the ego gets to them. I truly feel like if this would happen, we wouldn't get like that, because I'm going to be calling guys from home like, hey, man, you guys want to, like, run a tour with us through Cincy? You know, and we're gonna finish up in California. Like, bring up somebody with you that helped you too. So if you help us on a show, we'll help you on a show. And, like, that's how artists should be regardless. And honestly, the coolest experience that I think that we've had has been cross-genre.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. So we played some really cool gigs with bands that don't even touch what we play, and we don't even touch what they play, but we'll still support you because we get
music,
it. Yeah. Music's music. And so if you help us out, like, you know, and or if we help you out, like, it should be a cross thing, you know? And if you're going to sit back and fold your arms, like I just was, and say, oh, these guys aren't, but well, what are you really doing to help the whole scene anyways, man? You're not lifting up everybody. And so if you're not doing that, then why are you even playing music? It's a lift up measure, you know.
How many bands are we picking? Two, three? What are we doing?
We have a band, correct? A band's going to be opening for us on a tour. Who are we picking?
Man, you can do two if you want.
I mean, we already said we're bringing people up we've played with, so let's, you know, with Jordan's band.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
King Catfish is going.
Yeah,
Catfish.
Yeah, my homies out there, definitely.
We play with Black Alley Sound too. Yeah, they were great. They were with us twice.
We've had some cool,
both great bands.
Amazing.
And the coolest thing was you know, like, even in the, every band has to play as an opener at some point, right? Whether it's in the beginning of the end, like whatever happens, like there people stuck around to check us out, and so that always was, I guess, was a cool thing for me.
It was,
you know, like and then we gained some traction off of that too. So.
Man, I'm not going to lie. This next show we're doing, it kind of feels like a first show. Because,
we're a little nervous.
Yeah.
No,
we're not.
Yeah. No, we're not. What's coming up is our first time playing at Jurgles up there in Warrendale.
I guess it's just me.
And
post-COVID without rehearsals.
Yeah, post-COVID with two rehearsals under our belt. Yeah, we're not nervous. Okay.
I know when we get on that stage and we feel it, it's everything, the best is going to come to the top. I just know it. Like, that's what happens to us.
It really does.
I mean, in 2019, you know, building up to 2020, you know, we were playing so many gigs over at the Park House and Merchant Oyster and, you know, around town, Young Maine Republican Club. Yeah, we were just in a groove, you know, and this whole thing just sort of took us all by just out of nowhere, you know, and it's just so weird coming back, but we got to do it, and we got to bring back with the fire, you know?
I'm just, I'm just happy that we're finally getting some calls to do some gigs again.
And yeah. Yeah.
I am so excited to get back out there and meet new people, meet new fans, meet new bands, that whole thing. Collaborate with the community.
Yeah, and it looks like some of the community events are going to try to get off the ground this year. Like we lost Deutschtown and we lost Millville last year and all that. So I think they're going to try. You know, it was tough last year. It was tough.
But the second part of my question, second part of my question is, what city would you start in, and what venue would you want to start that tour?
Well, there's not a city on Mars yet, but
the Fillmore.
Ooh, west or east?
Cow Palace,
Fillmore,
the whiskey. End in Pittsburgh.
End in Pittsburgh for sure. End in Pittsburgh. You got to end in your hometown.
Start at the Fillmore, dude. Look at all of the classic, true, like iconic concerts that happened. Memphis Stew live at the Fillmore. Steely Dan live at the Fillmore. I mean, we would have to end in Pittsburgh.
Venue.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I would say the Rex Theater.
Well, RIP.
Yeah. Tough. We missed them already. Like I mentioned that with Charles Bradley. I mean, I saw Charles there.
Roxian. It's refurbished. It's got beautiful. A ton of history. Yeah. It's old school. I've seen a couple concerts there. Yeah, that'd be cool. Or like the Benidorm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say like West.
The old Staples Center. Like through
I'm
like an old
still
school.
Set on Mars. I want to start there and then hit the moon or hit Jupiter or,
SpaceX terminal on Mars.
What foreign country do we want to go for? Foreign country? Jamaica? You know, do we want to go to
somewhere warm?
I like it warm.
I figured he was going to say warm.
Australia?
I just had the Beach Boys go through my head.
Yeah, right.
The Florida actually Keys. that was my song Barbara Ann as a kid. I used to sing that one on the microphone, and Barbara I Ann. Probably broke yep. every microphone my father had when I was young. Singing Barbara Ann.
Overseas, I don't know. That'd be really tough. Maybe Amsterdam.
Yeah, Netherlands. That'd be
Netherlands.
Cool.
I've always heard great things about France.
I always want to play Red Rock. But that's
That's a good one.
Dude, the amphitheater.
Yeah. When Mayer played there with the trio, I was like, cool, guess I'll never see that show, and I didn't. And that was great. So, you know, just one more thing for me.
What's your favorite venue of Pittsburgh?
My favorite venue? So this is going back to early days when the Pennsylvania Rock Show first started. before I had kids. We used to go out almost every weekend and watch bands. And my favorite place to watch bands then was at a place called Wick City Saloon in Katanning.
I've heard of that. Dude, I don't know, man. I don't know if you guys were there, but like my favorite, I don't know, just venue from a show experience in Pittsburgh, Altar Bar.
Oh man, Altar Bar was cool.
Dude, I was there for August Burns Red and We Came as Romans, and that was the craziest show. I think it was the last show they had there, and it was completely just like off the rails.
It was cool. I saw Space Hog there.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was
Space Hog at Altar Bar?
It was incredible. And I met them too. And I gave them my CD. They were awesome. Space Hog.
Oh my God.
Did you say you gave them your CD?
I did.
That's a perfect segue. This is going to be the last question I ask you that isn't how to find you. So if you guys are on that tour and I'm hanging out with you as you're going from city to city, what is the soundtrack that we listen to on the tour?
It's going to start with, help me out. Adam, help me out.
Seems there's got to be a change of feeling all right.
Oh, no. Starts with Joe Cocker.
It starts with Joe Cocker.
Feeling all right?
Yep.
By Joe Cocker?
That's
the one. Tour.
We figured it out.
I think the thing is on constant shuffle is what it's on with us. You know, yeah. We just like so much different stuff. It's never going to end. You know?
You'll go from,
we got jazz, well, we got blues,
the
we
theme
got
theme song. I mean,
we got prog rock,
some kind of like carnival music, because you know we're gonna blow a tire. Then the buser van's gonna break down.
Three Dog Night.
Then we're gonna run out of gas.
Some point, a little polka, couple little Jimmy Sturr band, you know, a little Jimmy Sturr.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, the Larry David theme song.
There it is. Oh my God, that makes sense.
And some fish over there, of course.
Yeah, 30-minute fish jam. That'll keep us busy.
Yeah, I don't want to do your dirty work, silly Dan.
Oh, these are great questions, Bill.
Thank you.
They're out of control is what they are, because I've never been put on the spot like this in my life. In this
I asked you ahead of time if you listened.
Hey, man, I can respect that. I can respect that. Definitely some Michael Stanley band. A little bit of Clapton, but like mid-80s Clapton. Like,
no, it's Cream or bust.
All right, so we're listening to Cream.
I'm more for Derek and the Dominoes myself, but even though Cream's amazing.
I need some James Brown, some Prince, Queen. I need some old school jazz stuff like Sonny Stitt or Charlie Parker, something around there. I don't know.
Grateful Dead, Zappa.
I'll torture them all with a little bit of Yanni.
A lot of Grateful Dead. A lot of that. And then, like, we could really go crazy and throw some Cameo in the mix. Just Earthwind Fire. And of course, some Lakeside.
Ohio Brothers.
Ohio Players. Sorry.
Speaking of Earthwind and Fire, that's who we're opening for. The tribute band, Let's Groove the Night from Pittsburgh. They are actually fantastic. We went and looked at all their videos. They nail it. It's going to be a fun show.
Friday, April 2nd.
See, that's the next question.
Shameless plug.
No, it's perfect. So the next question is, you know, what's coming up for Slam Band and Sam? And I would love it if you said you were going to find Sam, but I know that's not what's going to happen because
we're always looking for whoever, like, and may not be him. It's like whoever Sam is, whatever you got for me and you're Sam, like, okay, cool. Like now you're just part of the band. So like this person probably doesn't even realize that they are a part of Slam Band Sam. So we're just going to grab them and be like, you're mine. No, you're going to play tambourine.
Cowbell. It's got to be the cowbell.
Got to be the one cowbell. Travis Sam was a good person. Though we couldn't play on time, so we had to rename him Bam.
I knew it was going to come out. I knew
we weren't going to be able to get through this.
The cowbell.
I got more cowbell, babe. Put pants on like you one leg at a time. Playing records.
So with that said, brother, Mark, tell us about our upcoming date.
Yeah, so Friday, April 2nd, we'll be at Jurgles playing with Let's Groove Tonight, which is an Earth, Wind, and Fire tribute band. And then the next one after that will be Wednesday, April 21st at North Country Brewing.
Which is going to be, that'll be a fun show too.
That's our first time there too.
That's so like we're very excited. It'll be like a homecoming for these guys. They went to school up there.
They went to school up there and a couple of my buddies are still up there. My one buddy runs sound and it'll be good. Just like to go back. I mean, we haven't really had the opportunity to. It's just, you know, excuse me. There's been a lot of you know, I had a couple dates on the books. Those got shut down. And I'm pumped that they asked us to do this. You know, so it'll be fun. It's going to be, from what I understand, it's going to be an outside show. So they're going to open up the deck. There'll be people from inside and people outside. They can hear us. And plus the projected open date, you know. And like, man, that place is all about music. They have music there pretty much every night of the week. So that'll be a fun time.
Other than Slam Band and Sam.com, where else can they find you online? And then I'm going to let you guys go.
We have all the normal places, you know. We have a Facebook page and an Instagram page, you know. I don't think we do anything other than those two. But
just at Slam Band and Sam.
And you can always go over to Bob's page, The Vault, too. Yeah, I mean, he puts some information over there about all the great bands that are on that label. Speaking of Bob, you know, we're constantly working with him to get to our next release. So we already have one just about prepped to start the countdown. So maybe June, maybe end of May is will be the next thing coming out. But, you know, we got a couple in a can ready to come.
Yep. Every week we're working on them.
Yeah, it's every week we're with them. And it's just a fantastic fun time with them.
Yeah, it is.
Bill, thank you so much for having us.
Seriously, thank you for coming on. It's been so don't go anywhere yet. Those of you that are tuned in, what you're going to hear is a couple more tracks. As long as I'm able to cut the show down to get them in. They are coming from the Whelming Waters. The song is the Whiskey Song. And we're going to end things with the band called the Bell Jumpers and their song, I Gotta Know. And then you will hear from John, the American Hilljack Lane. When you hear his voice, you will know that the show has ended. Make sure you check us out each and every Friday at buildascene.com. Check out slambandandsam.com, buildascene.com, parockshow.com, thevaultrecording.com, as I believe that's his domain. Let's see, what else did we talk about? SOS2020pgh.org. Nightlifeline.org. Are you guys familiar with that one yet?
No.
So that one has just come out recently. It is Pittsburgh based. They are trying to raise money for restaurants and bars that have been hit by the pandemic.
Dude, there's any way we can help out.
That's I believe Adam Valen is behind that from Drusky Entertainment.
All right.
Oh, Adam? Yeah. Okay.
He's the one who's working with us over at Drusky. So yeah. Yep. He's great. He's really responsive. He's
really
and
on top of everything.
On top of all the emails and you know.
He's doing
a good job out there.
So once again, I do want to thank the people that were in the chat room, Stephanie, Chris Raven. There were at one point we were in the high teens, so there were a lot more people, but they weren't talkative, so I can't thank them all because I don't know who they were. My name has been Bill. This is episode number 560 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Check us out next week.
just gotta know.
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.